CFL football fans reuniting here at Tim Hortons Field. It is the Tiger Cats and the Argonauts preseason game number one here on the Tiger Cats Audio Network. You are listening to Tiger Cats pregame presented by Greenworks, and it is time for our good friend to join us here, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, Coach John Salavanis. How many years has it been for you involved in the Canadian Football League, whether it be as a coach or a broadcaster?
Well, Bubba, it's been 38 years this year. Wow. I came here in 1985 with Al Bruno's staff, and have been here ever since. And a lot of thanks go to Scott Mitchell for having me stay on. You know, it's been a real good ride for me.
Absolutely. Like, let me throw you a question here. I think all of us conceded at the end of last season the team wasn't good enough. There was a really tough three quarters of the season, a real nice run in the last quarter of the season to get the Tiger Cats into the postseason, lost their first game in the East semifinal in Montreal, and then this team went to work. Team wasn't good enough, Coach. Are you happy with what changes have been made so far?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. You know, they had four straight losses to begin the season. Then they had the big win against Winnipeg here. The other big win they had was in Calgary against Calgary. Other than that, the disappointments they had was Labor Day. You can't lose to the Toronto Argonauts on Labor Day, and we lost 28-8 in that game. Then the semifinal against Montreal. That told everybody in the organization that time was up and we needed to make some changes. And I think the changes they made going after the quarterback number one with Bo Levi Mitchell was their priority, and they got that done. And then, of course, he brought in with his abilities to talk to people, brought in some very, very good players after he was signed.
Coach, we've already kind of touched on the offense and defensive line, which we normally lean to you for advice, but we do have a lot to cover here. Let's talk a little bit about the running back situation to finish off the offense. We've got the quarterbacks and offensive line. Bring in James Butler. What does he bring to the team?
Well, I think James Butler, number one, he's a very tough individual. And he runs with that style of run that they need for the inside. But he can also break to the outside. And when you think about the way the CFL now has the sidelines moved, or the hash marks moved in, that gives the perimeter a lot more room for the running back. So he can get to the outside with that. But really what he does is solidify the running back position. Now, Thomas Erlington's injured, and that's unfortunate because he was the great backup to Butler. But Butler's going to carry the load for this team, and I really think he's the kind of a back that you need. Last year, every game was a different running back going into the game. So Butler, to me, is a great acquisition.
All right, let's flip over to the defense. The retirement of Jamal Roll leaves a big hole in that boundary corner, which arguably is one of the most important spots on the defense because it's most often has the one-on-one matchups with a top receiver that the quarterback will look to anytime that there's advantage there. So what do you see at that position?
Well, in the secondary, everything's going to be new. We've got Adeleke and Katsantonis back at the free safety. But really, Woods is more of a return guy than he is a corner. They're going to have to play him at corner to start the ball game or to start the season. But a secondary is really an area that's going to take a lot of time to develop, I think. But to use an analogy, when we talk about strength, we talk about baseball, we talk about the catcher, the pitcher, the center fielder. When we talk football, we talk about quarterback, middle linebacker, free safety. And with that in mind, we have strength in those positions.
We certainly do. Javion Elliott comes over from Calgary with Bo Levi, amongst a few other players, which we'll get to. And I know that a lot of people in the Stamps organization were surprised that they let him go, but maybe it was the Bo Levi Mitchell effect that he comes over, and he's been impressive all through camp, and he's getting the start at that boundary halfback position. We have Richard Leonard coming back at the field half position, who is a savvy vet as well. So we'll see how, you know, the secondary can hold up with a couple new faces and some talent coming from other teams.
Yeah, and really this is the strongest linebacker group to start a season that we've had in a long time. Not to say that last year's group was not good, but when you look at Simone Lawrence, who's now, what, 8 years into the league, I believe, with the Ticats as a Will linebacker, and then you put in Thurman, and then you put in Edwards, come over from Toronto, I think that's a great, strong group.
Yeah, how many times did we talk about Jameer Thurman?
How many times did we talk about Chris Edwards?
Yeah.
You know, he had four interceptions against the Ticats last year?
Seemed like they're all for touchdowns, too. you're right. You're right, Coach. We have a ton of talent at that position. We re-signed Wilson from last year, who stepped in and made a lot of plays when Simone was down. So hard to crack the roster at the linebacker spot, but certainly exciting for this team and organization to go into the season knowing you have that much talent behind that defensive line.
Yeah, and really, when you think about it, they can help that secondary if they can get their blitz package in early and get those linebackers who are very active up there in the front coming after that quarterback, making him make the quick throws.
And Mark Washington's never been shy at blitzing.
Never.
Coach, we mentioned your 38 years here in with the Canadian Football League, and earlier we were talking about the strength of the league in general, and I thought it was, you know, I just want to hand it over to you. Why do you feel like this league is in such a good place right now?
Well, I think it all starts with the groupings. As you look across the country, we have more people now in authoritative positions that are either Canadian born or Canadians by choice. And if you go across the whole league, you look at Ryan Dinwiddie in Toronto, you look at Mike Clemens in Toronto as a man, Scott Mitchell, Orlando Steinauer here in Hamilton, Wade Miller, Mike O'Shea, Kyle Walters out in the Winnipeg area, John Huffnagel, Dave Dickinson in Calgary, Jeremy O'Day and Craig Dickinson in Saskatchewan, Jason Moss, Anthony Calvillo, Danny Machocha in Montreal, Sean Burke, Bobby Dice in the Red Blacks. These are guys that understand the Canadian game and understand the value of the Canadian ratio. And therefore, I think there's a lot of strength in what we now, with Commissioner Ambrosi at the helm, I think that makes it for a very strong grouping.
Well said. And even though 2023 was the first full training camp since 2019, because 2020 was a year off, 21, obviously a shortened season. Last year there was a strike that delayed it by 3 or 4 days. Even though you have a full training camp, how hard is it to put in your entire playbook and get to this point that we're at today, let alone only have two games before the first season? As a coach, just talk about this whole training camp and what you need to look for.
It is the most difficult part of a coach's responsibility because you can't make mistakes. If you make a mistake on your Canadian content, for example, and you go into the season short in the offensive line or short in the receiver group, you can't find those Canadian guys. They're not out there. Every team is going to hoard the best that they have in the Canadian content. That's why I go back to what the management people now understand and have. They used to be all American coaches. Now we're almost all Canadian. And I think the value of the Canadian content is so important. You can't make a mistake in training camp and not choose the proper people, or your entire organization is going to go down.
Let me throw you this, Coach. What is the evaluation process? Like, I mean, obviously you have two games, live games to watch. I think, I don't know how hard it would become to evaluate teams in training camp in 2023 compared to when you were coaching, because guys aren't wearing full uniforms anymore.
No, that makes it much more difficult for the O-line, D-line, in my opinion, and the running back. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the The idea is they film every play in practice. So they have all of that tape to look at. Now it's a live situation against different people. They get a chance to look at that and see how the guys react. And Andy and I were talking earlier about special teams, how important special teams are to a football team. And you mentioned the fact that Jeff Reinbold, they didn't have to go far to get him. They had to go all the way to Hawaii, but they brought him in as a special teams coach. He's the best in the league in that particular area. And these kinds of situations, the evaluation comes back to look at the tape and understand the tape, but also on the field, did everybody get in the right position? Was everybody in when they were supposed to be in? Did they make any mistakes, unforced errors in the ball game? And that's where the evaluation comes.
Yeah, that's got to be so difficult. And I mean, and just a layman question, how many hours a day are you in the shop?
How many hours are there? I mean, you basically, in training camp, you sleep a couple hours a night. By the time you get through with all the meetings, and then you get all the coaches' meetings.
Andy's smiling about these meetings.
Yeah. And then by that time, it's already midnight, and you're going to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, by the time you unwind, it's 2 o'clock before you hit the sack, and then it's 5 o'clock, and you're up and going.
It's a grind for sure, and that's what's so awesome about today, and just having this perfect day, an afternoon game like this, and the players finally get to let the bullets fly. Back to that point about Jeff Reinbold, I was at practice the other day, and Sharif Nichols, the head coach of Bishop's University, was here, and he literally said to me, he said, when I saw Jeff got hired, I wanted to come because I have a heavy part in our special teams, and I want to learn from him. So goes to show what kind of impact he has. Quick question about the game today. You know, you want to simplify your playbook to let the players play fast and physical so that they can showcase their skills, which is one of my points that I'll get to later. But how important it is as a coach, do you want to sort of test some of your sort of your plays or what you're thinking to execute in the season during the preseason?
Well, I think you have to be creative in a game like this. But you have to be careful because, as you said, you know, you're trying to evaluate the players, and at the same time, you're trying to simplify. Now, you know, those two things are an oxymoron. You can't do both. So at the same time, you know, you may want to spring one player or something different that you've practiced just to see if it's going to work.
Fair enough.
With his pregame salutations, he is Coach John Salavanis, a regular here on our Tiger Cats pregame presented by Greenworks. Coach, you're looking forward to next pregame and breaking it down a little bit more. The numbers will be down, some cuts will be made, and then it's the regular season. The live bullets will be flying, and we look forward to having you alongside with us on the pregame show. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Bubba, and thank you, Andy.